Okay, we'll get started in 2 minutes. 2 minute warning, everyone. Good evening, all. Welcome to this first virtual forum organized by the Arlington Civic Federation Task Force in Governance and Election Reform, or TIGER. My name is Chris Wimbush, and I serve as TIGER's chair. TIGER was formed by the Civic Federation in response to legislation which enables Arlington, if it so chooses, to use ranked choice voting in electing our county board. The Civic Federation decided in initiating TIGER that it was proper to make a wider examination of Arlington's form of governance and its electoral system for both the county board and the school board. And our authorizing resolution permits us to examine and potentially make recommendations on which form on reforms which might include structural reforms through district representation or multi-member synchronous elections, the size and pay of our county board and school board, ranked choice voting for county board and school board general elections, to examine the future role of primaries and caucuses, and options for alternative electoral mechanisms besides first past the post and ranked choice, as well as term limits for folks who hold office. In a series of virtual forums beginning tonight, we will examine a variety of issues related to governance and electoral reform. At this time, TIGER as a task force is in learning mode, and we have yet to formulate any recommendations on the issues I outlined. And we have members who come from a range of perspectives and views. Tonight, we'll begin with a presentation about the experiences of the city of Fort Worth, Texas, and their transition from an at-large system of mayor and 8 city council members to an at-large mayor and 8 city council members elected from single-member districts beginning in 1977. Next week, on Monday, May 24th at 7 p.m., we will discuss the work of the City Club of Portland, which has issued recommendations for that city after a multi-year process addressing many of the issues identified by Arlington Civic Federation for TIGER to examine. I'd also note for all folks on tonight that the Civic Federation website has a section devoted to TIGER, and that's where to look for background information for links to the recording for these sessions and future sessions. And I'd just like to highlight that in the coming weeks, we'll examine Arlington County's electoral systems and models for reform. We'll be examining other jurisdictions' experiences with different voting systems. We'll be taking a look at Arlington's governance systems as well as its mechanisms for public input. And so with that, I'm excited to welcome both our task force members as well as members of the public who have joined us this evening. I'm going to turn things over to our first or one of our two facilitators, Duke Banks. Duke.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. What I am joined today by former colleagues from Fort Worth, Texas, Ramon Gajara and Vernell Stearns, who both served as assistant city managers in the city of Fort Worth. And we worked together in the 70s in when I was working for the city of Fort Worth. I was there when they transitioned over to the, from at large to single member districts. And so I am very honored and pleased that both my colleagues and I would say friends, even though from 40 years ago, are willing to share their experiences and opinions about, how single member districts have been implemented in Fort Worth. These gentlemen are very well prepared. Ramon got his undergraduate degree from Texas Tech and the master's degree from the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. And he has a 27-year, I think it's 27-year experience in the city of Fort Worth, starting as a recruiter in the Human Resources Department, moving up to Community Affairs Director, Housing and Human Services Director, then becoming the Assistant City Manager. And since leaving the city of Fort Worth, he's been involved with a lot of housing, public housing authorities throughout Texas and including Tucson, Arizona. And so he's very, very well versed in, you know, in this area. Our friend Vernell is also very well prepared in this area. And he got his undergraduate degree at, I can't find it here. Hold on a second. Yes, he got an undergraduate degree from Prairie A&M College and completed a master's in public administration from the University of Kansas. I can tell you, working there as a guy from California working with all these KU guys in Fort Worth, that was kind of a KU mafia of sorts. But then he also came in as assistant city manager in human resources and continued on and sometimes being the acting city manager. He then became the director of the executive director for the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Authority before branching off into various areas of private business, including in health with Harris Methodist Health Plan. And he is now, well-connected within Fort Worth, serving on multitude boards, and quite numerous, including the Chamber of Commerce. He's the Board of Visitors, the University of North Texas, Board of Visitors at Texas Wesley University, among several others. And effectively, so I would like to welcome these two gentlemen who will give us a presentation on Fort Worth. I would also, before I close and pass the baton over to these gentlemen, these guys weren't my first choice, and they know that very well. My first choice was actually a very good friend of mine, Vernell Stearns, whom I effectively had the first contact with at KU, and I brought him to Fort Worth. I think Vernell is so.
You mean Bob Terrell?
Bob Terrell. Yes, he ended up then, I think, tying the ribbon of the package to get Bob to come to Fort Worth. And after I left, and Bob became the city manager of Fort Worth, and he's, I think, Fort Worth is first Black city manager, and I think his longest tenure, Vernell, I think it's 10 years, if I recall.
That's correct.
Yeah. So he was my first choice when we saw this, but then unfortunately he passed away about 2 years ago. So Vernell, who was his mentor, has basically stepped in along with Vernell. Ramon and Vernell, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Duke, for the opportunity.
Let me pull up your slide.
Again, thank you for the opportunity to share information about our community here in Fort Worth. Again, all I'd say is we're going to provide information that hopefully will be helpful to you. What I express will be my opinion about things and my recollection, but Vernell will be there alongside with me to provide the information and at the end answer any questions. Vernell, any comments from you?
No, you covered it out. I'll fill in places that I need to.
Very good. Next slide.
Well, I don't know what happened to my slide. I don't see it.
Well, I see it here, but you're in control.
We see it, Duke. It's fine. It's being displayed.
Yeah, but we need to move to the next one.
Okay, now I think I see it. Here we go. Hold on.
Technology. And I apologize. I told Duke I wasn't aware of how to share from my point, and he's filling in for me. If my grandson was here, he'd teach me how to do it.
I'm trying to get it into the presentation mode. Okay, here we go.
Very good. All right, next slide.
Okay, there we go.
All right, what we're going to do today briefly, we're going to talk about three forms of government that we have here locally, the county, Tarrant County, We're going to talk about the commissioner's court. We're going to talk briefly about the Fort Worth Independent School District. Those two we will talk about briefly. We'll go more in depth about the city of Fort Worth, its history, was established in 1924. But most of all, we're going to concentrate on the history of the city council representation when it had the at-large council representation and then transitioned to the single-member districts. We're going to provide some information about staffing and salary of the mayor and council, and also of the other elected officials from the other two governmental entities, and then briefly talk about what we see going next. I think you skipped two slides, Duke.
Sorry.
I'm going to start with the, okay, next slide.
Yeah. There. County commissioners?
Yeah. County commissioners. Again, Tarrant County is the county which Fort Worth is in. Fort Worth is the county seat. The commissioner courts includes the county judge that presides over the court. The county judge position is elected at large, countywide. The salary for the county judge is set at $192,986. There are four commissioners that are elected from a commissioner precinct for 4-year staggered terms. Their salary range is between $177,000 to $182,000. And let me just say the county has a wide amount of services that they provide, to include public safety, which is the sheriff's department, justice, which is all the district courts, and the justice of the peaces, and also constables. They are responsible for holding all of the elections within the county at all levels, whether it's the school districts, the municipalities, the commissioner's court, and any other elections that are held within the county. They're also responsible for building and maintaining roads, mostly in the rural areas, but they also participate in some of the major streets within municipalities. They provide emergency management services. They provide health and safety services for the county. They're responsible for collecting the taxes for the taxing entities. And then once they collect them, they divide them back out to the various taxing entities, all the cities, the school districts, and to the hospital district. They are responsible for registering vehicles and transfer of titles, and they're also responsible for registering voters within the county. Next slide. This is a map of Tarrant County. You see that there's four colors represented here. Those are the four commissioner precincts. They are divided. Again, the lines are drawn or adjusted every 10 years based on the census data, but they cross municipal lines, city limit lines. Now I want to add that the commissioner's courts and the county judge are elected on a partisan basis. They are elected every 4 years from staggered terms, as mentioned earlier. Currently, I think there's two Democrats, two Republicans, and the county judge is a Republican. There's one female, two African-American, and three white males on there, I believe. Next slide. Next, I want to talk about the Fort Worth Independent School District. The Fort Worth Independent Board of Trustees includes 9 members. Each of the trustees are elected from a single member district. And again, they're elected for 4-year staggered terms. The trustees do not receive a salary. And all of the board officers, including the president, are elected by the trustees themselves. So the president of the board is elected within the membership of the trustees, and he or she comes from one of the single member districts in the school districts. Next slide. Again, this is the map of the 9 single member district for the school district. As you can see, the school district does not encompass all of the county. But it is the largest dominant school district within the county, and the bulk of the boundary of the Fort Worth Independent School District, it's within the city limits of Fort Worth. Next slide. Again, while Fort Worth is the largest independent school district in Tarrant County, there are 19 other school districts within the Tarrant County. And again, Fort Worth Independent School District boundaries do not conform with the city of Fort Worth boundaries. They are different. As a matter of fact, within the city of Fort Worth, there are parts of 14 other school districts besides Fort Worth ISD. But obviously, Fort Worth ISD is the predominant school district within the city limits of Fort Worth. Next slide. Now we get into the city limits of Fort Worth. Again, Fort Worth was incorporated in 1973. It adopted a council manager form of government when it received its charter from the Texas legislature in 1924. It is the county seat for Tarrant County. The city council is composed of 8 council members and the mayor. In the mid-1970s, the voters approved a referendum to transition from 8 at-large council members plus the mayor to 8 single-member districts plus the mayor is elected at large. Next slide. Under the at-large system, the voters in Fort Worth elected Dr. Edward Gwynn as the first African-American city council member in 1967. He served until 1971. And in 1971, Leonard Briscoe, a local business person, an African-American, was elected serving until 1975. In the mid-1970s, responding to the request from the minority community to have broader representation in the city council, the city council appointed a charter review committee to review, among other issues, the at-large versus single-member district for city council elections. Now, I may want to add, I understand that besides citizen input for consideration of single-member district, there was a court filing that was filed in district court requesting the council to approve single-member district, which was later settled out of court because of the action by the city and the voters. Next slide. The Charter Review Committee recommended to the City Council that a 5-4 plan be approved. The 5-4 plan would include the mayor and 4 council members would be elected at large, and 4 council members would be elected from single member districts. The city council rejected the committee's recommendation and placed on the ballot an 8-1 plan, which would include 8 single member districts that would be electing one council member and the mayor at large. The voters had to decide this issue because it was an amendment to the city charter, which required approval by the electorate of the city. My understanding was the city council favored the 8-1 vote primarily because of the insistence by Leonard Briscoe that the 5-4 plan be rejected and the 8-1 plan be adopted. The voters did approve the 8-1 plan. Next slide. In 1975 city council election, which was the last at-large election, Mr. Briscoe was defeated by a white candidate. The results of that 1975 election, the council's makeup was as follows. It was all white, 1 female, Only one member was under the age of 50, and six of the nine members lived within a 1 mile radius of each other. So there wasn't a lot of broad representation in 1975. We went the wrong way, Luke.
Yeah, I see. Sorry.
In 1975, let's see, one more. There we go. With the voters approving the 8-1 plan, the district then moved towards drawing the boundaries for the 8 districts and following these guidelines. I'm not going to go through each one, but primarily they wanted the district to be relatively equal in population. They were trying to make sure that council districts were not fragmented or packed geographically with the minority communities. They were making sure that they were as compact as possible and contiguous, and where possible, communities of interest should be contained in a single district. The bottom bullet was one that was controversial. This is consideration may be given to preserve incumbent constituent relationships. In my personal opinion, that was saying they didn't want to put incumbent council members running against each other. Remember, which was hard to do because in 1975, six of the nine lived within a mile of each other. But these are the guidelines that the council said would be followed in drawing the 8 single member districts. Next slide. In 1977, again, the first election under the 8-1 plan, this was the results of the council and its makeup. They had a new mayor, although he had served as a council member before. There were 2 African-American council members, 1 Hispanic council member, 2 females, 1 council member under the age of 30, and of the 9, 5 were new to the city council. So, that first election really had an impact on diversifying the representation on the city council. Since 1977, there has always been 2 African-American on the city council. City Council District 2, which is considered one of the 2 Hispanic districts, elected a white candidate from 1993 to 2005. During this period of time, there was no Hispanics on the council. There's been a lot of discussion about this as to why it happened. Was that the intent of the city council? But I think it's important to understand that single member district concept is to ensure that the voters in that district elect their choice as their representative. This particular candidate, Jim Lane, an attorney, has obviously lived in the district. He had his law office in there and was very much involved in the Hispanic community. As a matter of fact, the first Hispanic that was elected on the city council was Jim Lane's treasurer in each of his campaigns. So Jim had a lot of support and obviously was very responsive to the needs of the Hispanic community. So he was elected for several terms. Next slide. Here's a comparison of the city's demographic makeup in 1975. The population was approximately 385. Today, it's well over 900,000. If you divide that number by the 8 council member district, you can see that the population has more than doubled. The ethnic population of Fort Worth in 1975 was 72% white, not Hispanic. In 2021 today is 39.2%. African-American percentage 19.9% in 1975, 18.9% in today. The Hispanic population in 1975 was 7.9%. Today is 35.1%, and other has also increased tremendously. So you can see the large change that's occurred not only in total number of population, but the actual makeup of Fort Worth's population. Next slide. This is a map of the current 8-member single member district for the city council. They are adjusted every 10 years based on the census data. The impact that had the most, again, is the increase of the population and the greater diverse population of Fort Worth. But this is the current map that is in place today. Next slide. The city of Fort Worth elections are nonpartisans. There's no party primary or caucuses. Election for the mayor and all the city council members are held every other year. If a candidate does not get 50% plus one vote, a runoff election is held between the top two candidates. The mayor and council members do not have term limits. And I may want to point out that I believe was the election in 1977, there were two candidates for mayor. And because of a few write-in votes, neither one got 50%. So even with two candidates, there had to be a runoff a few weeks later because none of them got 50% plus one vote because of the write-in vote. So that was somewhat unusual. I don't know if it ever happened again in Fort Worth or anywhere else where two candidates and neither one get the majority. Next slide. Before single member districts, direct staff support for the mayor and the city council was provided by one position in the city manager's office. As a matter of fact, she was the administrative assistant to the city manager, the mayor, and all the council members. Since single member district came into play, each council member now has a full-time assistant, and the mayor is supported by 5 to 7 positions to include a chief of staff, administrative assistants, security, and chauffeurs. I'm not sure exactly how many positions there are, so I said 5 to 7, because some of those are budgeted in departments. For instance, security is provided by the Fort Worth Police Department. She has at least 1 or 2 assigned to her at all times that she's at public events or there at City Hall. And they usually double up as their driver to take her to different locations. So it's hard to define exactly what the budget is for the mayor's staff or how many they are because they are many times funded in other departments. Next slide, please.
Okay.
Although the mayor and council members each spend more than 40 hours per week fulfilling their council responsibilities, they're not really considered full-time positions. Most of them do have other professional responsibilities. But here's a comparison from 1975 to the present. In 75, the mayor and the city council members got $10 per meeting, and this was per meeting. They had to be in attendance to earn their $10. If they missed a meeting, they were not paid for that. Today, the mayor earns $29,000 and each council member gets $25,000 annually. Next slide. Here's a comparison of the elected officials from the three governmental entities that we've talked about. The mayor is elected at large, 2 years term, salary $29,000. City council members, they're elected from single member districts. Their term is 2 years. They make $25,000. The county judge is elected countywide at large for a 4-year term. His current salary is $192,000 plus. Each county commissioner, they're elected from their precinct. They're elected for 4 years, staggered terms, and they make between $177,000 to $182,000. The Fort Worth Independent School District trustees, they're each elected from a single member district for 4 year staggered terms, and they are not paid any salary at all. I know it seems like the county elected officials make so much more than the others. Again, I point out that both the county judge and the commissioners are considered full-time positions. They actually oversee and administer and manage the responsibilities within their precinct. And they have their own budget and administer that. So that's one of the reasons why their salary is so much higher than, say, the mayor and city council, and obviously the school board trustees are not paid any at all. Next slide. You know, again, talking about the impact of single member districts, and again, I want to say that this is more based on my perspective on this. I believe that single member districts provide for more diversity on the city council. I think that was seen in 1977 election in Fort Worth. I believe that neighborhoods feel more engaged. They have someone that they can call. They say, that's who I elected, that's who I can go to. Also, I believe that previously ignored neighborhoods now have an advocate and have resulted in needed facilities and services in underserved neighborhoods. I know that some folks may say, hey, if you have single member district, you're gonna have council members that are going to push for facilities in their district and maybe duplicate what's existing in other districts. My opinion and my experience has been that there has been over the last several years more facilities being built and services provided in neighborhoods, but it's because there was a need to catch up because of lack of services in some of those neighborhoods. So I think that's a real plus. Some of the cons, although single member district provides the opportunity for broader representation, the drawing of boundaries can also dilute representation. And I think that's probably as important as having single member districts is how those boundaries are drawn. We see it, I know, all over the country in all levels of government where gerrymandering occurs in drawing those districts. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that has to be looked at very carefully. And some voters may believe that single member district makes it more difficult to come to a consensus on major citywide issues. I think that it does provide for lively discussions and probably some hard bargaining on issues. But again, when you have diverse opinions, that occurs. I don't know if Vernell may want to comment on some of the pros and cons of single member districts. Vernell, any comments?
You're on mute, Vernell, if you're speaking.
Vernell, you're muted.
The two districts that have elected African Americans, they have experienced population growth, but in both cases, there are still very active community participation, which is what single member district was designed to do.
Can we go back to one? Okay, next slide. Again, the impact single member district representation can cause some frustration to senior staff. Each council member elected from their district, they're gonna come in with their list of priorities for their district. And senior staff had to be responsive to each council member's concerns, probably making for a longer day. If a senior staff is not committed to be responsive, even though it's more work, it may require a change. I believe the single member district representation provides for a governmental entity the opportunity to be more responsive to its citizens, even though it may mean more work for staff. Again, I think with single member districts, you could have more issues coming up that probably under at-large system, some of these were probably ignored and not brought up, and now you have to address them. So I do believe it's more work, but I think it been government being more responsive to the needs of its citizenry. Again, Vernella, any comments on that?
I agree with that.
Next slide. The Fort Worth voters approved another city charter amendment to increase the number of city council members from 8 to 10. The large increase in population since 1977 at about 145%, and the underrepresentation of Hispanics are two main reasons why the increase in city council districts. Using the 2020 census data, 10 single member districts will be drawn and approved by the city council. The mayor will still be elected at large. The 10 districts are to be in place for the 2023 city council election. And as of this date, I understand that the city council has retained the right to have final say in the drawing of the boundaries. There's been some discussion whether a commission should be appointed to actually draw the lines, but I believe that the city council has indicated they will retain that authority. Vernell, any comments on that?
That's correct. The council has made the decision that they will do that.
That covers some information. I went through a lot of it pretty fast, but open to any questions or comments from anyone.
Do we have a hand up? Go ahead, Keith.
Yes, hi. Thank you for your presentation. It was very informational, and it was good to see how at least one jurisdiction, unlike Arlington, has recognized that when their population increases, it's time to increase their council members, unlike we have here. I was wondering, in that discussion, has there ever been any discussion of creating multiple member districts as opposed to just single member districts?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, I was just curious. And also, if correct me if I'm wrong, but prior to this last iteration, when you increase you will increase the council members, am I correct in saying that after the districts were formed, that up until recently, even though 35% of the population was Hispanic, you did not have a single Hispanic member on the council? Is that correct?
No, there was a Hispanic city council member that was elected in 1977 until, I can't remember the date, I have it there, in 95, an Anglo was elected from that district. And then we do have a Hispanic council member currently. There was a second district in the south side that was created to be a Hispanic district. When you look at the raw data, the population, it has a majority Hispanic population, but there's never been a Hispanic elected from there. Obviously, there's various opinions of why that has occurred. My opinion is that when the lines have constantly been redrawn for District 9, there's about 2 to 3 neighborhoods. They're predominantly white, very active voters that the powers to be have insisted that those neighborhoods be in that district, and they control who gets elected. The Hispanic community has submitted maps each time to showing the transfer of those neighborhoods to another district to provide a greater opportunity for Hispanics to be elected from District 9. And again, that's one of the reasons why the push for 10 districts, because the belief is if with the 10 districts, if drawn properly, there could be three Hispanic safe districts drawn. But again, have those powers to be will decide on where the boundaries are will have a big impact. But there is one Hispanic on the council today.
One observation that I want to bring out in looking at those population numbers where the drastic increase, what maybe is not all that apparent, I think, in some of the maps is that in the last 40 years, there's been a lot of annexation to the city of Fort Worth, and especially going towards the north, on the north side of town and even into the, onto the west. So I guess the question is, with these annexations, how has that affected the demographics of the city? Because are a lot of the Hispanic, the increase in Hispanic population in these newly annexed areas, or the demographics different?
I think going north, there's been a lot of Anglo increase because the homes that were developed on both sides of Interstate 35 going north have been fairly expensive homes, and the folks who have been working at Alliance Development have lived nearby. So that has provided an opportunity for a lot of white citizens to move or come in from other places and live in that area.
How has that affected the single member districts, or how do you think it might be affected in the redistricting when you go from 8 to 10 districts?
I think it's going to depend on how the city council end up dealing with the population increase, and especially how they deal with District 9. And then that might provide for another Hispanic, but I really don't see that happening right now. Ramon might have a different outlook.
Well, I think that you're right, Ronell, that the population increase to the north, which is the outside Lupe 20 and into a newly developed area, it's mostly been the white population increase there. The impact on districts, obviously, you have to have more people in each district. With the 10, it's going to allow for smaller districts, but I don't know, I haven't heard the approach that the council is going to take. I know someone has said that districts should be drawn like a spokes of a wheel, where each district has some inner city and some areas outside the loop in the outer fringes of the city. I think if they do that, you're going to have some dilution of the diluting the minority population, because the bulk of the minority population is within the inner city. Although you're seeing more and more diverse neighborhoods, but still the majority of minority communities are in the inner city. So it's going to be interesting how that's going to be drawn. Again, the drawing of those boundaries is going to have a big impact as to what kind of representation we're going to see on the city council going forward.
And Ramon, weren't you, when you were a member of the staff, you were involved providing staff assistant to trying to go through some of those,
I was fortunate enough, I guess it was in 1992, I was the lead staff person to help the city council to draw the new district's boundaries in that year. And lots of politics involved in the process. I think there was concern about protecting incumbent council members. And as I mentioned, the example of District 9, where a couple of neighborhoods controlled those elections, and there was a strong desire to keep those districts in or those neighborhoods in that district. How open of a process we're going to have? Well, I hope it will be an open process to consider everyone's needs.
So we have a couple of hands up. And so I think in the order that they were raised, we'll go Thomas, Nancy, and then Douglas. Thomas?
I was just gonna bring that up. Thomas?
Hi, you hear me?
We can, go ahead.
Okay, Arlington, like Fort Worth, considers the council members to not have a full-time job and their pay is low. Doesn't this raise the question of who they're really working for? How is it possible for them to attend to all the responsibilities of that position of running a complex operation as a part-time endeavor? And doesn't this let the staff basically lead them around by the nose? We see that happens in Arlington a lot.
I'll give you my opinion on that. In Fort Worth, we have the council manager form of government. And I know there's probably a lot of different perspectives on what that means. My perspective is the council, including the mayor, and the mayor only has one vote, like all of the other council members. He or she has no more authority, but the council sets the policy, and the city manager and his or her staff implements the policies and carries out the programs. And that's the way a council manager form of government, in my opinion, is supposed to function. And so the council members set policy. They're not full-time. They don't manage. They don't administer. They just set the policy and tell the city manager what they want done. City manager's responsibility of getting it done and puts the budget together to implement all those policy that are approved and submitted to the council for their approval.
And I might add that a lot of the work that council members have an interest in usually has already been approved in a bond program. And so the staff has to keep that in mind when they're bringing projects forward for the council to consider. And as a result of that, the council members are not really leading, being led around, because they are following the express interest of the citizen in terms of many of the projects they want in their neighborhood, whether it's streets or better water district, better water, and et cetera.
Why don't we go to Nancy? Thank you. Why don't we go to Nancy?
Yes, I'm interested in what it took to get the council to make that big change in 1975, and then this other change more recently. In other words, who led that charge? What kind of, how long did it take? What kind of political pressure, or did these council members just sort of in their own wisdom, decide to make the change? I mean, that would be an issue here, of course, is what does it take to convince everybody to do it? So could you give some background on that?
Well, in Fort Worth, we had a council member who was very adamant that there should be 8-1 plan. And he really galvanized the community and thus the city council to get them to move away from the 441 and place on the ballot the 81, which many of them did not expect that to pass. And we ended up with it, and it's worked well, I think, since then.
My recollection of the first time that the 10 member district idea was brought up was in 1992. And again, I remember hearing it from members of the Hispanic community that this was a way to possibly get a second Hispanic on the city council. So 1992, 2021, that's what, 30 something year or 29 years in the making. So it doesn't happen overnight. And I believe the change, as Vernell explained, and what we saw here a couple of years ago to 10 districts, those ideas have originated from the community and from communities that felt they were underrepresented. I think the establishment in 1975 was happy the way it was, and it was the minority community, the underrepresented, that kept pushing for a change.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to Douglas.
It doesn't come easy, and it takes a long time.
Thank you. Douglas, your question?
Hi, good afternoon. It's my first time joining one of these meetings. Thanks, everybody, for the ability to do this. And thank you, Mr. Guajardo, for helping explain the issues that you guys are facing in Texas. I'll note for the group that did a little quick math. One of the comments earlier was the size of the council and the increase in population. And even with Fort Worth's increase to 10 council members, with a much larger population than Arlington, each council member is going to represent about 87,000 people, even after they move to that 10, compared to each council member in Arlington representing about 47. Roughly half the number of people that a council member in Fort Worth will represent. So I don't have any idea what the right number is, but just an interesting comparison there. It's a much bigger city. I've got, I guess, two related questions, sir. One is, and I'm sorry if I might have missed this in your presentation, are the council member positions partisan? And whether they are or aren't, I guess, I'm wondering if there's been any talk of a ranked choice voting system or like instant runoff elections. I've heard those sorts of voting mechanisms raised as ways to reduce the partisan polarization of an electoral system.
Well, in Fort Worth, the city council and the school board are nonpartisan. Although I think if you look at the council elections, it's pretty obvious in most cases whether a candidate is a Republican or a Democrat, but it is a nonpartisan. And to be honest with you, until about 2-3 weeks ago, I had never heard of the ranked choice election system. And I guess I'm old school. I'm not sure how they would work, whether it has merit for our community or not. So I would have to look at that further, whether it's something that would be beneficial to Fort Worth or not.
No worries. Thank you, sir.
If I can make one additional comment to augment what Ramon has said. In Texas history, the hurricane that hit Galveston in 1900 also took as an evaluation of that hurricane, found out that the commission form of government was so partisan that it hinder the relief efforts. I think one council member was in charge of police and another council member was in charge of public works, but they didn't get along, different parties and whatnot. So there was a real effort at in Texas for especially medium, small towns to basically have true nonpartisan elections, which effectively there's also no partisan primary, as Ramon mentioned in his presentation.
Yeah, I think in Arlington, we're so heavily Democratic, and I like the district concept in order to get, you know, different communities represented, as you mentioned. But then I would worry that each district would end up becoming more polarized if we don't have some mechanism to try to push towards more moderation from those candidates.
I think you're bringing up the very issue of what this task force is all about.
A good summary of the equities involved. Thank you, Douglas. We can circle back for any additional questions. I do see Michael. Michael Beer.
Yes, it sounds like diversity in terms of identity politics were very important in Fort Worth in terms of the reforms. Here we have pretty good diversity in terms of ethnic identities and gender and age. Not bad. Where we're falling short substantially is in competitive races. And can you tell me what the experience was when you went to the district system of elected officials kind of squatting in those seats for a very long time? Did you have did you see a change in the number of elections that were routinely competitive? Did you get more candidates? Ultimately, and this is a very difficult question, do you feel like you got a better quality of candidate, not just candidate, better quality of candidate and better quality of elected officials? So these are things that we're very interested in trying to improve here, the quality of our elected officials, the competitiveness of races, and more candidates in elections.
Well, I will tell you one thing that led to a more competitive group of council candidates was the fact that the city council now gets paid. And you know, that $29,000 is not much, but it's a lot better than $10 a meeting. And so, you know, the council races are fairly competitive now.
The question of quality is very subjective, you know, because someone say quality depends on a person's knowledge of government and how it functions and be able to impact.
Rewind.
But in my opinion, quality of a elected official is how knowledgeable is that council member or that candidate about the needs of the area that he or she is going to represent. And I tell you that a single member district from that perspective has greatly increased the quality of candidates, because now we have candidates that know more about their area than someone that lived across town. So in my opinion, yes, it increased the quality of the candidates.
Ron, I might add that early on, many of the minority candidates had served on the Human Relations Commission. And so that was sort of that introduction to local government. Today, it's a lot different. You got a lot of folks now who serve on the Zoning Commission and any number of other council committees. And the policy is that each council member can recommend a person to many of those boards and commissions. So that's opening it up where you're bringing people in from areas that are not just social services related.
Still a point, Vernell, because I think that gives minority candidates from those districts the opportunity to serve on those boards and commissions that previously were never considered to be appointed. Human Relations Commission was the only one. The three minority candidates that were elected in 1977 all came from the Human Relations Commission. That was their experience in government. Now they serve, you have minority citizens serving on all boards and commissions.
What I suggest in conclusion here is I'll ask both of them to reflect on their experiences. And Ramon, your closing thoughts and as in perspective as a Hispanic on single member districts in, you know, in Fort Worth, and Vernell, your closing thought for, as an African American, you know, concerning single member districts.
Let Vernell go first. And let me just say, Vernell was my mentor and supervisor for about 12 years before he went off to better things at the airport. So I owe a lot to Vernell in the development of my career.
Thank you, Ramon. And it was because of good staff like Ramon that I was able to achieve some of the things that I did. But when I look back at single member districts, I think it has improved local government considerably. We're still not where we ought to be, but it's a lot better than where we were. And we have an awful lot of people in those districts, minorities in those districts who are engaged and observing what's taking place. And many times they attend council meeting. They have a place for citizen presentation and the council oftentimes will allow the citizen to come to the podium and speak before they finish their regular agenda in order that they don't stay there for hours and hours waiting on council business that they have no interest in. So I think it's really opened up municipal government, and we are getting, in my opinion, better candidates now. And folks are giving a lot of deep thought to what they want to do when they get on the council. And it's not as politicized as it used to be, in my opinion.
Thank you. I just got a note from, I think one of our Tiger members has been trying to ask a question before we close for the evening. I just want to make sure we don't leave anything on the table. Kevin, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Chris. You say that the city council and school board elections are nonpartisan. Do political parties endorse candidates, even though they're elected nonpartisan? Do they endorse?
I don't believe they formally endorse. But you see elected officials from other entities that are elected on a partisan basis endorsing particular candidates. And Vernell, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think parties themselves will endorse a candidate in a nonpartisan election.
That's correct.
Before we got with Kevin's question, Ramon, you want to close it up with your thoughts?
Sure, just briefly. I totally agree with what Vernell said about single member district. I think it's been very, very good for our community. It has broadened representation on the council, but also has opened up opportunities for careers within city government for minority individuals and females. I think as far as the Hispanic community, I think that the population has become more spread out within the community, less concentration, which is good, but you don't have that voting block. I do believe, though, the most important thing in single-member district is to allow a geographic area to elect their official, whether it's African-American, whether it's Hispanic, or it was Anglo. The experience of District 2, that when several years, District 2 being a predominantly Hispanic district, that those voters decided that they wanted to elect a white male to represent them. And I truly believe that that district did not fall short in having their need met because they had an Anglo. So again, they had the opportunity to elect whom they wanted. And if Jim had not been responsive, he would have been voted out the first time around. So single member district is about allowing a geographic area to select the representative of their choice is going to be responsive to their needs.
Okay. I want to conclude this by thanking my friends Ramon and Vernell for stepping up and doing this. I found it to be very interesting. And again, a big thank you. Chris, I pass it back over to you.
Thanks so much. And I want to thank our speakers this evening for sharing their wisdom and their time with the task force and member of the public. At this time, I just want to invite everyone to participate in next week's virtual forum, where we'll hear from the City Club of Portland regarding their process to put forward recommendations for the change of electoral and governance systems as we continue our exploration of these issues before us as part of our mandate as a task force. So thank you all. We'll be posting the video from tonight's meeting on the Civic Federation website. If you know folks in your community groups or organizations or just interested residents of the county that might be interested in hearing about tonight's meeting, please send them to the Civic Federation website into the Tiger Corner. It'll probably likely be up in the next 24 hours. And again, thank you all for coming this evening and for your engagement. I look forward to seeing you next Monday at 7 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.